And if you're able, would you remain standing for the reading of God's Word? If you would, and you turn in your copy of the Scriptures to the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 11. If you need a little help finding Leviticus, it's the third book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 11. God's very words say this: "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." Church, would you pray with me? Father, this morning as we gather in the name of you, Lord Jesus, knowing that your blood makes all the difference. Father, would you pierce our hearts with that truth this morning, that our very lives, life and death, hang in the balance because of your blood. Father, would you work in us a miracle this morning, that when we leave this place, we will be different, that you will change our hearts, that you will help us to see your glory, your goodness, and that you're a great, good, good Father, and we pray that in your great name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In case you don't know me, I'm Steve Thompson. I serve as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. And we're going to be taking a big detour today from Pastor Dan Crevillion, our senior pastor who is on vacation. He's been preaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we're going to take a detour today into this Old Testament book of Leviticus. And let me just preface the sermon with this: trying to give you a sermon on the difference that the blood of Christ makes is like going down to the beach at the Pacific Ocean and taking this Dixie cup, scooping up a little water and saying, "Here it is, here's the Pacific Ocean." It just doesn't do it justice. Just doesn't do it justice. So today it is truly a privilege to be here to preach God's word, and he will more than make up for my discrepancies. And I want to ask a question. Have any of you ever given blood? Anybody in here given blood? Okay, great, great. Well, you know what a difference that can make? The difference can be life and death. Just ask a cancer patient or someone who has had a serious injury. Without blood, all flesh-bearing creatures will die. And in a much more grand and eternal sense, Jesus' blood makes the difference between life and death. We sing about that. We remember that when we come to communion at the table of the Lord, and we read about that blood of Jesus in the Bible. And in fact, in the Old Testament, one of the priest's duties was to sacrifice animals, and their blood was poured out or sprinkled on the altar in the tabernacle. The purpose was to make atonement for the sins of the people. The word atonement is defined as to bring into one accord or to make amends. And it's important for us to realize that the blood of animals could not make atonement for sins perfectly or once and for all. Only Jesus can do that. And so from a biblical viewpoint, we really need to understand that atonement is defined as the reconciliation of God and man through Christ Jesus. And this is achieved only through the blood of Christ, his perfect sacrifice through his death on the cross. The Lord Jesus' blood was shed to atone for sins. Christ's perfect blood made the perfect sacrifice to appease God's hatred of sin. and a person who trusts Jesus, embracing those truths through God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, is safe and secure from sin and death now and for all eternity. And church, that's the gospel. That's the good news of the cross. And so here's the main theme of this message today, that only Jesus' blood makes the difference for atonement of sins. And I'll attempt to expound upon that theme with 3 points. Number one, the perfect sacrificial blood of Jesus is life-giving. Number two, it's a gift of God. And number three, it is the only atonement for sin. Here's a little bit of background on the book of Leviticus. Leviticus was written by Moses sometime from 1400 to 1450 BC. It's one of the first 5 books of the Old Testament, called the Pentateuch. And it's not so much a book about keeping the law for righteousness, but rather a confirmation that God is holy. And because God is holy, sin needs to be atoned for. And so God ordained a special day. It's called the Day of Atonement. We read about that in Leviticus. And it is an important Jewish holiday. In fact, it's called Yom Kippur. That Day of Atonement only occurred once a year, and it was an annual sort of cleaning house of sin. The Day of Atonement was a way of ensuring the people's sins were dealt with so that God continued dwelling in their midst. And God graciously provided for the atonement of sins, as we read in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, through the shedding of blood of animal sacrifices. But God, in his infinite wisdom and understanding, pointed ahead, a foreshadowing, if you will, to the cross and the perfect blood of Jesus that would be the atonement for sins. You see, church, He gave it for you and me so that sin would be forgiven. Take a look at what Hebrews chapter 9, about the second half of verse 22 says. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. As mentioned earlier, without blood, flesh-bearing creatures will die. Without the atoning blood of Christ Jesus, Spirit-filled creatures, people made in the image of God, people with souls like us, will die. Without the blood of Christ, there would be no hope in this earthly life or beyond. And that brings us to the first point of this message, which is the blood of Christ is life-giving, that life being eternal. And so from our text today, God says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The word life in this verse can also be translated soul, which alludes to the very nature of who we are, our souls. The soul is the part of all flesh that is the very source and fountain of life. And therefore, we see that the blood of the sacrifice is sacred and precious. That's why God prohibited the eating of blood. And that's referenced in Leviticus chapter 17, verses 10, 12, and 14. Let's take a look at verse 14 to get an idea of what God's saying here. For the life of every creature is its blood. Its blood is its life. Therefore, I have said to the people of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any creature. For the life of every creature is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. So you see, church, the blood, the atoning blood, is indeed sacred, precious, and life-giving. Jesus says that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. He also says that he is the way and the truth and the life. and no one comes to the Father except through him. This life is eternal and is a gracious gift from God for all those who trust in Jesus. And this also means that the life-giving blood of Jesus makes the difference for people like you and me. For example, the reason the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, think about that, was to provide a time for the church to gather, remember, and celebrate Jesus and his blood. Eating the bread and drinking the cup, which represents Jesus' body and blood, is a proclamation of trust and belief in him, because he is the only one who calls sinners out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Only Jesus can do that. And so God's perfect love was poured out on the cross in the blood of Christ. Think about that. He laid down his life for sinners so that people like us could live eternally, today, tomorrow, and forever. Let's take a look at what John chapter 15, verse 13 says about that. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did that. And there's an example I wanted to share with you that points to that. In January of 1982, there was a commercial jet that crashed in the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. There were 6 survivors who clung to the tail section of the aircraft. 6 survivors. A helicopter was dispatched to the accident scene and dropped a lifeline to each survivor. But there was one man, a Mr. Arland Williams Jr. When the lifeline would come to him, he would pass it to the next surviving passenger. And he kept doing that. And on the last pass, the helicopter came to rescue Mr. Williams, and he was gone. He had given his life so others could live. This heroic act in a desperate situation is a tiny picture of the gospel. Someone laid down his life so that others could live. Jesus did that, church. He laid down his life so that others like you and me could live eternally. Sin causes all of us to be in a desperate situation, and only Jesus' blood makes the difference between eternal life and eternal death. And so because of Jesus' life-giving blood, think about this. Where is your and my hope of being rescued from the deep waters of sin and judgment? Is our hope in money, possessions, jobs, even ministry? Well, there is no gift greater than the life-giving blood of Jesus. Which brings us to the second point of this message, that the blood is a gift of God. And from our text in Leviticus, God states the following in verse 11 about the blood of atonement. He says, I have given it for you on the altar. And we need to pay particular attention to the word given and the words for you on the altar. The word given implies that the blood that atones for sin is a gift. And now a gift, think about it, a gift is given freely from the giver to the one receiving it. It's done out of love and compassion and care. Church, that's who God is. That's who our God is. He gives good gifts and perfect gifts out of his great care, compassion, and love. And that truth will never change because God never changes. Now, how about those words "for you" on the altar? Well, the words "for you" indicate that God's gift is very personal. He gave it to his people, the ones who belong to him. And in addition, consider the location where the blood was shed. It was on the altar, which means the blood was a sacrifice. And this ties in with the Day of Atonement, where the blood of bulls and goats and sheep were sacrificed on the altar. But here's something, church, very important for us to apprehend concerning the blood that atoned for the sins of God's people. Listen closely. The gift of atoning blood was given freely through God's grace. But think about this. God's gift of grace isn't free. A price was paid. That price of atonement under the old covenant, which God made with his people at Mount Sinai, was the shedding of blood of animal sacrifices. However, the blood of animals was insufficient to cover the sins of the people. Here's what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 says about that. God's very words say, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." You see, the Old Testament saints knew the blood of animals sacrificed on the Day of Atonement or any other time couldn't save them from their sins. But they looked ahead to the cross, trusting God that the sacrifice of animals was a foreshadowing of the better and perfect sacrifice that would come in Christ and his blood. And we, as we sit here today and worship and celebrate the Lord Jesus, we look back to the cross, also trusting God that the blood of Jesus is the only way to peace with God and forgiveness of sins. And so this brings us back to the main theme of the message, that only Jesus' blood makes the atonement, makes the difference for the atonement of sins. Listen closely. No one or nothing can bring about reconciliation of God and man except the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other cure, church, for the sickness of sin except through the life-giving, God-given gift of the blood of Christ. There is power in the blood of Christ. And there's an old hymn that I wanted to share with you, the words of which will be projected on the wall. And I'd even like for us to try to sing that. I'll try to do it justice. It goes like this. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. God uses the imagery of a slain lamb in Scripture to give us a picture that points to Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. For example, you know the story. The Passover lamb was slaughtered according to God's plan, and the blood was put on the doorpost of the Israelites' homes so that death would pass over and they would be unharmed. The lamb was sacrificed by a painful death so that God's wrath would pass over his people. The Hebrew people were ransomed by the precious blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb made the difference. Think about this, church. Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's what Scripture says. And according to God's plan, Jesus was sacrificed by a painful death so that God's wrath would pass over his people. People who would receive him and rejoice in him. People like you and me. And his blood is the ransom, the payment to God that sets us free from sin. The blood of the Lamb of God made the difference. And so therefore there is no need anymore for animal sacrifices because Jesus' sacrifice is perfect and complete. And here's a truth that's very important for us to remember. Listen to this. The gift of being ransomed from the curse of sin through the blood of Christ only had to be done once. That's the perfection of the blood of Christ. Done once. And its efficacy is for all eternity. All eternity. Think about that. That kind of outrageous, gracious, merciful, gift-giving comes from God who delights in his Son with whom he is well pleased. Yes, God delights in the one, the Lord Jesus, his Son, who bought his people with his precious blood. If you're in Christ today, in other words, if you're trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen to this. God delights in you. God delights in you because of Jesus. Yes, if you're in Christ, God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Did you hear that? If you're in Christ, if you're secure, trusting your Savior today because of his blood making the difference in your life, he loves you as much as his Son. Indeed, God delights in those who have received the gift of the precious atoning blood of Christ. Yes, God delights in the person who loves him and puts their hope in him. Here's what Psalm 147, verse 11 says about that. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. And that brings us to the third and final point of this message. The blood that brings eternal life through Christ, which is so graciously and mercifully given as a gift by God, is the only means of atonement for sin. Nothing else will do. And again from our text, pointing toward Christ, Leviticus 17, verse 11, in the latter part of the verse, it says, "For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. There is no other way for sins to be atoned for except through the blood of Christ." This is what the new covenant is all about, which we read about in Scripture. And specifically, here's what Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 says. For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And the new covenant was established when Jesus' sacrifice on the cross occurred. His blood was the permanent, perfect atonement for sin once and for all, unlike the animal sacrifices. And if you remember, under the old covenant, on that day of atonement, the high priest would go into the most holy place and he would approach the Ark of the Covenant. And you know the Ark, if you've read about it in the Old Testament, a gold-plated box which symbolized the faithfulness of God to his people, that he would keep his covenant. And inside of that box was God's law, the commandments, and the people couldn't keep them perfectly. No one can. And above that was a covering, the mercy seat, it's called, and then the cherubim, and then the presence of God himself over the top. And on that day of atonement, the high priest would sprinkle the blood of an animal sacrifice on the mercy seat, the covering, the thing that was between God and man. He would sprinkle the blood of that animal sacrifice on the lid of the ark, the mercy seat, to show that atonement had been made for sin. The sacrificial blood covered the people's sins by coming between them and the holy God. If our sins are to be atoned for, something has to come between us and God. And that something is the blood of the perfect sacrifice acceptable to God. It is the blood of Christ. Church, Jesus is our mercy seat. He's the one between us and God. His blood made the difference. His precious blood cleanses us from sin. Take a look here at 1 John chapter 1, the second part of verse 7. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see that word, all? If you've had a bad thought this morning, if you had a bad week this week, if you came into this building feeling really crummy and worried and discouraged, the blood of Jesus covers all of that. If you're in Christ, that has been forgiven. It's been covered. He has come between you and the holy God to make all the difference. And so only the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus will do in order that a person's sins be atoned for and there be a reconciliation with God. No one else can accomplish that exclusive, incredible, life-transforming miracle except Jesus. If you've read the Chronicles of Narnia, specifically the book by C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's a scene where at the White Witch's castle, there's all these stone figures, dozens of them. Stone figures, no life. And the witch had done that. And Aslan, the lion, came and breathed on them. And stone figures were turned to flesh. Only Aslan could accomplish the transformation of lifeless, hard stone figures to living, breathing creatures with flesh. Similarly, only the atoning blood of Jesus can transform a lifeless, hard, stony heart to a soft, life-filled heart of flesh. Here's what God says about that in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. And I will give you a new heart, God says, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So here's a call to examine ourselves. What's the condition of your heart today? Perhaps you came into this room with a stone, cold heart to the gospel. Think about that. God's precious, life-giving, gift-given blood of Christ that atones for sins can change a hard, stone-cold heart to a heart of flesh. Are you hard and stone-cold to the gospel today? If so, you're in a life and death situation. And only Jesus can make the difference. He's the only one. He's the only way of salvation. He's the only way to eternal life. Think about this. Did the survivors in the Potomac River plane crash say no thank you to Mr. Williams when he handed them the lifeline? No. No. And so today, right now, God is offering you the lifeline of hope, peace, and the assurance of eternal life as a gift through the atoning blood of Christ. If you've rejected the message of the cross, as you listen to this message, your life can be changed right here, right now, by repenting of sin. That's turning from sin and turning toward God. Repenting of sin, believing the gospel. What we're sharing with you today, the good news of the gospel, trusting that, trusting Jesus. Today is the day to take hold of the lifeline if you haven't done that. Now is the time. Today is the day. Won't you trust in Jesus? And how about those of us who have trusted Jesus perhaps many years, even decades? Do we realize that His blood not only atoned for our sin, but continues to plead our case in everyday real life situations? Think about this. Because of Jesus' blood, a marriage on the rocks can be rescued. A serious health issue can be healed. And worry-filled thoughts like I had this morning as I came up to this pulpit and began to speak to you. Worry-filled thoughts can be calmed. So whatever your or my situation is, we need to repent of our sins, believe the gospel, and trust Jesus because His blood makes the difference. Perhaps right now, God is working in your heart. Perhaps you, as you sit and hear this message, haven't trusted Christ. And God is working in your life right now as you listen to this message. Perhaps you're a believer. You've trusted Christ maybe for decades, but you have worry. There are heavy weights on your life, on your family. And I want to tell you, after the worship service, after we sing the final hymn, right over here to my right, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you so that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is for you. And so as we wrap this message up, there's an old hymn that's titled Nothing But the Blood. And here's the following words in this old hymn. It says, "This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Is that the heartfelt cry of we who gather at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church today? Do you and I trust in nothing but the blood of Jesus? Well, if we do, it should cause us to drop to our knees in prayer for the Holy Spirit to bring revival like the church has never seen. And let me tell you this, church, revival is messy and it's hard because it brings outrageous gospel-centered changes. Would you be willing to ask God for that today? Because when God ignites the fire of revival, we begin loving Jesus more and ourselves less. We serve in love and love to serve. And it doesn't stop there. fostered by the Holy Spirit, by His prompting, love grows deeper and richer within families and within the church. In fact, the apprehension of Jesus' love for us would be so evident that it would compel us to an urgent and passionate desire for prayer. Prayer, both individually and as the body of Christ, the faith family. This is who Jesus wants us to be as His followers. And here's my question for us all. Are you and I willing to ask God for revival for the sake of His glory and our good? And if not, why not? Are we willing to step out and ask God for revival in the church? Think about that today. And so, in conclusion, have you noticed the words out in the newly remodeled foyer? Connect, grow, serve. It should not be just a slogan that looks really good. No. It should spur us on to seek God's face through prayer for reviving our love for Jesus, because He makes the difference. That He would ignite a fire in our hearts to be bold ambassadors for Christ, proclaiming the gospel to a dying, chaotic, and sin-filled world. And the reason for it all, the reason for it all would be because of the life-giving gift of God, of the atoning blood that makes the difference. Let's pray. Father, today is the day that You have made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it because of that. But Your word says this. Father, I pray that You would pierce our hearts with these words from Your word, that it says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Jesus, for in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile, to bring us back together to Himself, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Jesus, we pray this prayer. Would You do a great work in our hearts today? Thank You for who You are, and that You, by Your blood, have made the difference. Amen. Amen.